Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, in this morning hour we come into thy presence, and we beseech thee, Lord, that thy goodness would be felt among us. Lord, we hunger and we thirst after thy righteousness. Fill us with thy living waters. Lord, with the bread, Lord, that comes from on high. Fill us with thy goodness. Direct us into thy will, and may we yield ourselves unto thee. Lord, without thee we can do nothing, and so we ask, Lord, that thy presence would be felt, thy spirit would be made manifest among us, and Lord, that we would be directed by thee, for we look to thee in this day, asking this in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, read chapter number 26, beginning with verse number 30. Matthew 26, beginning with verse number 30.
Братје наши, да се чита с Божја помош Светог Евангелија по Матеју, 26 глава, од 30 стиха и надалје. Свето Евангелие по Матеју, 26 глава, од 30 стиха.
And when they had sung an hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he was yet speaking, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Wish to conclude there. The Lord Jesus, when he was here upon this earth, said these words specifically. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is he who reigns. This is he to whom all power was given in heaven and in earth. This is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And his words are that I came from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me, to do the Father's will. He surrendered his will to the will of the Father. Last Wednesday night, we read 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. As Jesus came here upon this earth not to do his own will, but the will of the Father, he's saying here that we should have that same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. To the will of God. As we have been born again, as we walk in this newness of life, we as Christ followers, as Christians, as believer in him, do what Christ did. And did not do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. And so likewise, that we are no longer to live our time here upon this earth to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the will of the people of this earth, when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. That's who we once were. But now we have been sanctified. Now we have been set apart to do what the Father would have us to do. As Jesus Christ surrendered his will to the will of the Father, so likewise we as Christians, as followers of God, surrender our will that we might do the will of the Father. Surrender, completely give it up. More than just simply submitting to God, but in complete surrender. Just as if there's a battle and one party surrenders, that means they've given it up. They've given up their arms. They've declared defeat. They've surrendered. They put up the white flag. They're no longer going to be able to do what they want to do. They are going to now have to submit or surrender to the winning party. But when we surrender our will, we actually declare victory. Because the Lord is now working in our hearts. The Lord who can do all things is now living within us because we have surrendered our will and now do the will of the Father. And what he does is best, because his ways are not our ways and neither his thoughts our thoughts. His ways and his thoughts are so much far superior than ours, as the Bible says. So when we declare that we are surrendering to the Lord, we're actually declaring victory. Because we are partnering with him who is victory, who has won, even as Jesus defeated death in his surrendering to the will of God. And so it's crucial that we understand this, and I believe we do, but that we also live it out as Jesus lived it out. Jesus came here and said, told the people, I came from above not to do my own will, not to bring my own message, not to do it my way, but to do the will of him that sent me. And so Jesus here is spending these last moments with his disciples, and he's coming to his hour of suffering. He's coming to this time of going through a very difficult time, even as he said that he was very sorrowful and heavy. And this is the moment that he's coming to. And so he has this Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room, and they sing this hymn, and then Jesus says to them, to all of them, he says, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." And through this reading, we see that the scripture is being fulfilled. The scripture, and what the prophets had said is coming to fruition even now in this night. And so the prophets have prophesied that the chief shepherd would be smitten, and Christ was smitten, and all of the disciples, all of his sheep, would be scattered. And this came to pass even now in this night as we read it. And he says to them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." But earlier, Jesus says to them, "Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." How are we offended? It's when we are hurt. It's when we are something happens against us. But if we've surrendered our will and allow only the will of the Lord to be done, then we can't be offended. We can't be offended. Jesus spoke to them in parables, and he said, "He that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." So there are those who have these stony hearts, and they receive the word of God, and they're like, "This is great. I get salvation. I have to believe. I only have to believe. I don't have to follow a law. I don't have to go back to the Mosaic law. I can simply believe, and I can have salvation. This is great." And then it says, Jesus says further, "Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Well, now there's an offense. Oh, you mean that I have to endure persecution? I have to endure tribulation? Well, I didn't really quite sign up for that. And they are offended because they will not let their will be done away with. And so we are to be careful that we are not to be offended by the word of God, neither that which comes by keeping the word of God. But Jesus tells them, you will all be offended. And then Peter, as he is, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter's making this declaration. Everyone else could be offended, but I won't. And the Lord Jesus kindly just reminds him and just says, well, it's evening now, and before the cock crows, before the dawn comes, before the sunrise comes, you're going to deny me three times. And I believe that the Lord Jesus said this in love, just so that he would understand and know that when it happens, he would know that the Lord already foreknew it. And Peter says to him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And so Peter's being more earnest, that he will not deny the Lord. Even if it means that he has to die, he will not deny the Lord. And then likewise said all the disciples. And you can just see the scene. You know, Peter's making these declarations, very strong declarations, and all the others are nodding their heads. Yes, yes, that's true. That's how we feel. We won't deny you, even if it requires our life. But Jesus knew all things, and he loved his disciples. And it says, "And then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit here while I go and pray yonder." They all knew what was happening. They had this meal with him. They saw that Jesus, in humility, draped a towel round about him and bent before his disciples and washed their feet, even though he was their Lord and Master. And they had sung and they had prayed and they shared a meal together, and they were given this information that Jesus would no longer have any meal with them until he would drink it new with them in the kingdom. And so they had spent this special time together with the Lord. And now he's telling them, okay, we're here in this garden, in this Garden of Gethsemane, and I want you to stay here, and I'm going to go pray a little yonder, a little further up. And he asked Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, to come with him. And then he tells them, in his sorrow and in his heaviness that he feels, knowing that his suffering was here, why he came here upon this earth, the time has come. And there's this buildup to what's about to happen. And he tells his inner circle, he tells Peter, James, and John, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. So often Jesus would reach out to others and says, what is it that you need? And they would say, well, I'm blind and I'd like my sight. Or I'm lame and I'd like to walk. Or I'm a leper and I'd like to be cleansed. And Jesus was never thinking about himself. But here he's telling him his inner circle. He's telling his three disciples, I'm exceeding sorrowful. This is very difficult for me. He's revealing to them the emotion, his humanity that he's experiencing. And he's saying, and it's so severe that it's even unto death. This sorrow that I'm experiencing, it's even unto death. And he's saying, so tarry here with me and watch with me. Be a part of this together with me. Let's do this together. Let's have a oneness in this. I am exceeding sorrowful. Join me in my sorrow. Be here and pray with me. Watch with me. And so Jesus goes a little further and he falls on his face. Again, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one to whom all power belongs in heaven and earth. He falls on his face. He falls on his face. And he prays, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus says, I came not here upon this earth to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And so he's pleading with the Father, if it's possible, if there's some other way, if there's some other means where sin can be forgiven to the people, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not as I want, says he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not as I want, but as thou wilt. But as thou wilt. If we are Christ followers, if we are Christians, if we believe in him, we are to do the same. We are to do the same. We are to plead with the Father and say, not as I will, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus taught us that prayer there in the Sermon on the Mount, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God, just as it's being done in heaven, that we would want God's will to be done here upon this earth. And how I fit into God's will, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Poverty or riches, many or loneliness, however, it doesn't matter. God's will be done. God's will be done in my life. I've surrendered my will. I don't have a will. I don't have a will. My only desire is that I would please the Father. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And as Christ followers, as being one of his, our will is to be the same. And to utter the words that Jesus Christ uttered. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And so he comes to his disciples and finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, what? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? You said you were going to die for me. You wouldn't deny me. And you're going to fall asleep? And so he tells them again, I'm in agony. I'm in sorrow. Be with me. Tarry with me in this. Let's do this together. Watch and pray, he says, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he goes away a second time and he prays, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not my will. Not the way I would see things. says he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we who are nothing sometimes say, no, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. I know what the Lord wants. I'll just do it the way I know to do. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, says, except I drink it, if that's thy will be done. And so he finds them asleep again, and for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed again the third time, saying the same words. Again, the Lord Jesus, who knows all things, though he's in heaviness, though he's in great sorrow, yet he sees his disciples sleeping. They couldn't pray with him. They couldn't do their part. Even while he falls on his face to the earth and prays to his Father, they couldn't do their part. And yet he has mercy. And he leaves them. And he tells them, sleep on now and take your rest. Take your rest. We've had dinner together. We've shared together. And now go ahead and take your rest. And then he says, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Jesus, again, knows all things, knew that his disciples couldn't stay awake. He knew that they couldn't pray with him. And he knew that Judas was making his way with the chief priests and the elders of the people. And they're coming as if Jesus is some thief with all this weaponry of swords and staves, knowing that Jesus never carried one. And yet they come to him in such manner. And so Judas shows them who Jesus is. And Jesus responds to Judas when he kisses him by saying, friend, wherefore art thou come? Again, the merciful Savior that we have. Here is one that betrayed him to the chief priest, to those who would kill him. And the Lord addresses him as friend. And then to give him something to think about, Jesus asks him, why are you here? Why did you come? Why did you come? And Judas knows why he came. He came to lead this mob to arrest Jesus, to identify Jesus to this mob who wanted to destroy Jesus. And so Jesus gave him something to think about. Why did you come? And so they laid hands on Jesus and they took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. This is Peter, and we know this to be Peter, and that we know the servant to be Malchus. And Peter has this moment where he's telling the Lord, I will never deny you. I will never deny you. If that means I have to die, I won't deny you. I'll die, but I won't deny you. But then he can't stay awake. But then he smites off the servant of the high priest. He smites off the ear of Malchus. And he knew that there was going to be ramifications for that. He knew that he couldn't just simply aggressively swing a sword at a servant's at the high priest's servant's ear and not have repercussions for that. So he was bold in that stance. He was bold and then he failed. And then now he's bold again, and then he fails and he forsakes Jesus when they take Jesus away. And so Jesus says to Peter, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Jesus spoke to Peter in another gospel. By saying, put up thy sword again into a sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? This cup that the Lord, the Father has given me to drink, this portion that I am supposed to do, shouldn't I drink it? Are you going to stop, Peter, the will of the Father? By fighting with this mob that has come? Jesus is saying, this is my cup. This is what I need to do. I've prayed to the Father that he would take it away, but I've submitted myself to him. And so he says, this cup that my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? I came from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then he says, and certainly he's saying this to Peter, and certainly the mob hears this, and Judas hears it, and the other disciples hear it. He says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Don't you think that this could happen? Don't you think that I can just call on God and he will do these things? Now let's consider something. Remember back in the time of Israel, and they were having these battles, and there was a time when the brutal Assyrian army came up and surrounded Israel. They were a very violent nation, and their tactics of winning wars was brutal. And it took one angel from heaven, to smite 185,000 Assyrian in their camps. 185 of the Assyrian army were wiped out by one angel. And Jesus is saying here, I can call 12 legions of angels and they will be here immediately. So imagine if one angel wipes out 185,000 of an army who's very strong, what 12 legions of angels can do. Remember the one that had the legion that was there in Decapolis, and no man could tame him, and he would break the chains. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he said, legion, because we are many. And so one legion would be many. But Jesus is here saying, I can call 12 legions of angels, and they will be here. And they will wipe out the Roman Empire. They will wipe out the Jews. They will wipe out the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders and these people that have these swords and their staves in their hands. But Jesus didn't come to do his will, his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father. And then he says, but then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? For it has to be thus. It thus must be. So Jesus surrendered himself fully to the will of the Father. We, as Christ followers, need to surrender our will fully to the Father, that his will would be done in all things. Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to have a relationship with me, if you want me to be your brother, you need to do the will of the Father. If any man will do the will of the Father, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother, said the Lord Jesus. And then as Christians, as followers of Christ, the Bible also says that they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. So we are no longer doing our own will. We are no longer doing the will of the Gentiles when we are walking in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. We're no longer doing those things when we are Christ followers, when we believe in him. We surrender our will. We don't simply become only a servant, but a slave, as I understand was said last Sunday here. We don't become a servant. We're more than that. We're a slave to him. We don't simply just submit to the Lord, but we surrender to the Lord. We surrender to the Lord and say, thy will be done. Not mine. Not mine. And when we surrender to the Lord, we become as Christ was. And then we become Christ's brother and his sister. And we put away the filth of the flesh. We have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. We walk in his way, and we please him well in all things, asking the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so in that same hour, Jesus says to the multitudes, are you come out against me as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? am I like a dangerous criminal that you need to come with these swords and these staves to take me? He says, I sat daily with you in the temple, and you laid no hands on me. Jesus came, he was truly a pacifist in the true meaning of the term. And he proclaimed to them God's word. And they're coming out against him as if he's a thief. And then he says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Again, this was what needed to happen. This is what needed to happen. Because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And so we just simply marvel at Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one whom all power belongs in heaven and earth, that he submitted his will to the will of his Father. And we, as Christ followers, can be no different. We completely surrender our will to the will of the Father. It's not about us anymore. Now it's simply about pleasing the Lord in all things. And it says that all the disciples then forsook him. There is a great joy in our lives when we can come to that point where we can sincerely say, Lord, whatever thou wilt have, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to submit to thee whatever thou wilt have. It brings about a great joy in our hearts and in our lives, a joy that nothing, no other experience, no other material possession in this world can give. When we know that we are sold out to the Lord and we are fully submitted out to him, that whatever he has, we are in his hands and we are in a good place. That gives us great joy and it gives us great peace. Because we surrender to one who can do all things. Because we surrendered to him who spoke the worlds in place. Because we surrendered to him who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And that gives us great, great joy. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. This is where our delight comes in. Our delight comes in that we want to do the Lord's will. And that gives us delight. That gives us more joy than anything else that in this world can give. This is what gives us delight, to do the will of God. To say, no, I'm not going to make an expression of my will, like what I like, what I want, how I want things to go. No. It's what the Lord wants. It's what the Lord wants. And I'm just laying it all at his feet. And then that gives us great delight because we delight to do his will. As most of us have been raised in the church, we went to Sunday school, we sang that song even from our early youth, that thy will be done. Not our own will, but thy will be done. And we continue to sing it today. And we continue to lay down our lives for him because we delight in him. And we know that if Jesus did that, then likewise we need to do that. We need to surrender our will and surrender our will gladly, surrender our will freely, surrender our will in its entirety to the Lord. And he will bless our lives richly. Amen.